We still have a meeting on the 22nd, though, right?
Yes.
This is the way I thought the whole meeting was.
Pray you thought so.
Item 11.
The record show that the chairman has gotten us back on schedule.
Karen?
Miraculous effort.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We have for the board's consideration today a new policy. It has to do with the procurement of products and services by Cicera. As you know, we contract with vendors to receive a whole variety of products and services. With us becoming independent and transitioning services away from the county to outside vendors, and with our assets exceeding $7 billion, we thought it would be timely for the board at this point to consider delegating to the Cicera CEO the authority to enter into contracts that are below $50,000 for goods and services. And we also thought it would be prudent to have a policy that sets forth the process for obtaining services, those that require the board's approval. And so the policy that we have for your consideration today looks at our current service providers and divides them into two groups. One is a core group, and core vendors, we've listed them. They're your actuary, they're your external auditor, and you can look at the list. Those are the ones that we feel are material, and those are the ones that would require board approval. And the policy sets forth the process for that. The initiation of an RFP here or a search would come from the board or from the board at the on the recommendation of the CEO. This policy governs the steps that are taken in terms of issuing the RFP, the search process, and then that a decision by the board will be made after there's been a recommendation by the CEO that includes certain elements like talking about the search and the criteria that was used in selection. Vendors of services or goods that are non-core or below $50,000, that's where we feel the board should consider at this point delegating that to the CEO.
So are you saying that if it's non-core, doesn't matter what the amount is?
Core is actually defined as anything above $50,000. So even if it's not listed as
one of
the core vendors, if it's above $50,000, we treat it as core. Okay. So it would go through this process of board involvement and final approval.
So no matter what, anything over $50,000 would come to the board for
yes.
Correct. Analysis. Okay.
And for the under $50,000, the condition is that it needs to be it can't exceed the budget for that year. So the CEO can't go off and hire somebody for less than $50,000 and have that exceed what was budgeted. So in other words, the board approves the budget going forward, so we're putting this restriction in to make sure that we don't exceed that budget. And I should mention also that we have a separate policy that requires all contracts to be reviewed by general counsel. And that would continue. So even if the contract doesn't go before the board, it'll still be legally reviewed before the CEO can sign it.
Jerry?
Just a minor thing, but on page 2 of the draft, it just jumped out at me that we're approving core services, actuarial, auditor, counsel, and the custodian.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I assume by that you mean custodial services. It's not.
We have a custodial bank, State Street.
Oh, custodian. I'm sorry. I apologize. I took it quite literally, and I thought, my God, this
We take it seriously.
Green floors are important.
That should come under building maintenance.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Maybe we should clarify that or something.
Add the word bank to it.
No, bank, custodial services or bank and financial custodial services? Maybe somebody else make the same mistake I did.
This custodian you don't want to clean you out.
Got it.
That's very good.
I thought to myself, that guy is, or woman has got a little.
It's some big money for sweeping a floor.
Bob ties.
The same level. Paul's not going to like to hear this. We approve Paul and the custodian.
Okay.
Questions, Karen. What was our previous before we became an independent district?
We didn't have anything like this previously. We don't have anything like this currently until you possibly approve it today. What we do have is in the board regulations, there's specific delegation to the CEO. It states that in addition to handling the day-to-day operations of the system, there's a list of five or six items that the board is delegating to the CEO, having nothing to do with contracts. Mm-hmm. And so the current process is that contracts come to the board as a recommendation by the CEO, and all of them have to be approved by the board prior to being executed.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are you finishing?
I'm not.
Okay.
I'm never finished. No, I'm just
kidding. Okay.
I have two other things. Where did the $50,000 amount come from? And I'm not opposed to it. I'm just curious to know where that number.
That's a discretionary number for the board.
Okay.
It can be wherever you feel it needs to be. I think Gail actually looked at some of our existing contracts to kind of see what the amount is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's some judgment call about how material the services are and where that reasonable amount would be. So I think Gail is very comfortable with the $50,000. Did you want to elaborate on that?
Yeah, it's very kind of somewhat arbitrary. I looked at some other plans. Some other plans had 100 or 150,000. Some had less. I think with this being the first policy, it's something that we can kind of, you know, it's a step in the right direction. I think it's important that we have these things codified. And if at some point in the future we see, no, this should maybe be higher, we'll look at it then. But that was kind of the level I was comfortable with.
Mm-hmm. The only reason I ask is I was just wondering how, I mean, it makes sense. I'm not opposed to it anyway, but I think the county's Board of Supervisors for the county is 25.
Yeah, and more typically I see 25 on other boards and committees I serve on, so 50 seemed a little high to me, and that was one thing I thought we should discuss of how often you would need to exercise 50 where it wouldn't be convenient to put it in a consent calendar for us to approve something.
Well, I actually would add something to that, and that is it just says where the cost of providing the service sought is expected to exceed $50,000. Is that over a one-year period of time or over a 20-year period of time or 1 month or one lump sum?
Should be annually, I would think. But we can clarify
because
that.
Because things like website development, I mean, you're going to pay that person over a year for...
Yeah.
And that's my last point, which is a separate thing, is in here we're setting the $50,000. Again, I'm not opposed to that number. I was just curious to where we originated from that. It makes sense. The other thing, my point is do we need to specify the amount of time that the CEO can enter into a contract? For example, 20-year contract at $50,000 per year, if that's, you know, not that you would do that. But do we need to set the maximum number of years that we could set?
I would say the value of the whole contract.
Yeah.
And so if someone's going to get a contract that cumulatively would be more than $50,000, then it needs to come to the board.
Okay.
So to me, it's the contract itself. And if it has a reopener clause or something, then that then, which would lend itself to being sort of some evergreen proposal that they could keep going on and on and on, that would need to come to the board. So to me, if the contract in any way, shape, or form can be interpreted to be more than $50,000, if that's the number we agree upon, then that's it.
Okay. So I think that would be need to be specified. The time needs to be cleared up in terms of...
Right. I'd like to see some specific... to clarify what we just... said.
So what I'm hearing is actually that it wouldn't be an annual amount. It would be just the contract amount. And some of the contracts have a total amount. Some of them are pay for services as you go with a, you know, hourly fee. So we'd have to anticipate.
Well, then you have a maximum up to $50,000. And that's what the maximum is. And in my mind, if then it needs to be extended more than $50,000, then you come back to the board with a not to exceed. So you say this contract not to exceed $50,000. And again, 50 still seems like a high number to me. I'd be more comfortable 25, but unless you feel like it would hinder the day-to-day operations of what you're trying to accomplish, then I'm willing to grant you that, you know, additional authority.
Mm-hmm. I'm comfortable with the 50 in that it can't exceed the budget for the item.
Except that the budget is really condensed down into line items. I don't think there is a budget item that's under 50,000, is there?
Yeah. Oh, there's definitely.
Well,
I would think now we have roll-up items that feed into the line. So,
so there's more detail to it.
Yeah.
So was it the annual budget limitation per line item? What if this is an expense for something that we haven't previously budgeted for? So, or is the budget limitation that if this contract would push over the max, the total budgeted amount for our entire budget for the year?
I think it should be somewhere in between the line item and the total amount. So because with a line item, you're pretty specific. If there's something that is within, you know, some category, maybe a few line items or some higher category that describes them, and you're not exceeding that, and it's under $50,000, the intent here is to allow that to be done by the CEO. But it shouldn't be the total amount of the budget, because that's just way too broad.
Right. I'd be comfortable with an initial policy of say of 25,000, and let's see how it goes. Yeah. And then if we're always bumping over the 25,000, then we can raise it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not comfortable granting authority greater than what our own county grants.
I mean,
historically,
there's been a budget item for a discretionary CEO discretionary account for $50,000, and that has gone back as long as I can remember. I don't know if it's ever been used or tapped into, but there has been that. I don't think it's on your most recent budget.
Oh, I took it out.
But historically, it had been $50,000 for years and years and years.
I think from a transparency / accountability standpoint, from us as the board, I'd feel more comfortable starting at a lower amount. And again, if we find it does hinder you, by all means, let's revisit it and look at the type of contracts that would do that. But I think it would, again, we have such limited oversight of what happens. You know, we show up two or three times a month at a board meeting that I think would be very helpful to have contracts in excess of 25,000 come before us.
It might be helpful to ask Karen and Gail, will this have any great impact that you recognize at this point in terms of the amount of time you're going to spend in acquisition procedure, the procedure of purchasing supplies and equipment and other costs if we go to 25 as opposed to 50?
I wouldn't anticipate that it would be overly cumbersome.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Again, just put it on a consent calendar, and then if someone has a question, they can pull it. But I think it would be helpful.
An alternative in the future is if we do want to grant 50, we could make some lines saying anything over, I'm using arbitrary numbers here, 10, any contracts over 10 need to be reported to the board, but anything over 50 needs to have board approval. For example, I don't know if that's an option later down in the future, but it sounds like the consent of the feeling I'm getting is 25 for the time being, see how it plays out and then move forward. If that's
I actually like that idea.
You like which?
The anything over 10, we just get a report that says this is what was approved. It's not necessarily that we have to haggle it out and have conversation, but that we're at least getting a report that says this is what was approved over 10 to 50.
Mm-hmm. So, is that a motion?
No, I'm going to. I want to go to that down the road, but I actually like what Candace is proposing over 25 right now.
Mm-hmm.
We can add to this policy that anything under $10,000 does not need to be reported to the board. That's not a big.
What's our current policy? I mean, I don't expect the board to see, for example, a contract of $1,000 for.
Okay, well, so why don't we just make my motion $25,000 comes for board approval. Anything over $10,000 just shows up in a monthly roster list of.
Under like routine items.
Yeah, just so that we have that, and again, it's just giving us greater accountability and showing that we know what's going on in this organization.
Is that your motion?
That's my motion.
I'll second it.
So just clarification on that. It's not that we've entered into contract over $10,000, but that we're actually issuing a payment to a vendor over $10,000?
I was thinking more you'd be entering into a contract
okay.
over $10,000.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I just want to clarify.
Yeah. No, I don't think I don't need to see all of your payables.
Yeah.
That could be very cumbersome too.
Yeah, so. Exactly.
And again, I'm not trying to create more work, but I think it would just help us also have a better understanding of the size of the contracts which you're entering into. And then in my mind too, let's revisit this in a year and just see how it's worked for you having this cap, and then see if we want to increase it or implement some other changes.
That's it, exactly what I was thinking, is bring this back in a year. I don't know if we have an annual tickler file or anything like that where, you know, somehow this could just come back up on the board in a year.
We can do that.
Currently, this is written to come back to the board in 3 years, so we can change that to 1 year.
Bring it back in a year. Again,
because it's new
policy.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Is the motion accepting and approving this policy with those changes today?
As changed.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's what we're.
Okay, do we,
oh, and adding the word as financial
custodian.
Prior to custodian. Yes. Maybe we just say financial custodian.
I think Will actually mentioned this a little bit, but we didn't really get into the discussion, is the amount of time that this the service providers, should we limit that? Mm-hmm. So,
well, and what I was suggesting is just that if a contract, no matter how long it could be, if it could be extended further and further, was going to exceed that $25,000 amount, it would have to come back to us. And so if it was a contract that said this is automatically renewable every year, but it's only for $25,000 or $24,000, it would still have to come back to us because potentially it's worth more than $25,000.
That's written in the policy under 4C9. That if it exceeds the amount in total.
Cost of providing service side, yeah, in total,
yeah.
Perfect.
So, but I'm not talking about the dollar amount. It's really the number of years of service, because in my experience is that we have a bank, it's already 20 somehow more years serving the county. We never really went back to RFP. So maybe in the policy, maybe we should have some clause saying that for this, after this given years, that we really have to do our due diligence and to see what's the best service provider out in the market and give us the organization a fair chance to find the best one. So I'm not sure if the number, should we limit that number of service years for any service providers? So
yeah, and that's a good point. We currently don't have a policy that requires us to issue an RFP for existing vendors, and that's what I think Belinda
is
talking about.
Yeah, exactly, yes.
And some plans have put that in their vendor selection policies, where for the core providers, you know, maybe you
the
can approve a three-year with two one-year extensions,
especially the
and then after that, every 5 years, you have to do an RFP.
I think RFPs are helpful. It keeps us competitive, and I found that with other agencies where we realize we're paying far more fees that no longer are demanded in the market. But because we have this old contract and this old agreement, we just keep paying those additional fees. So
just to exemplify your point, currently under the policy, if we don't provide a time clause, the CEO, not that the CEO would do this, just I'm using this as an extreme example, it could sign a 1,000-year contract for $2,500 per year.
No. That would be.
I mean,
that would be above $50,000.
No, above $50,000. So take it back. So five. So it'd be $50 contract for 1,000 years. Right.
Yes.
Just I'm trying to use an extreme extreme case.
That's pretty extreme.
Yeah. It is.
I agree.
Yeah. So to your point, Candace, are you amending the motion to say 5 years would be?
Yeah, I think 5 years for. to go out for RFPs for some of our regular service providers.
We evaluate, yeah.
So that's a new provision in this policy.
Yes, it would be a new provision in this policy that requires us to issue an RFP for, now let's define this, all core providers, anything above $50,000, or just the true material services like actuarial,
well, we're auditors, talking. Yeah.
But we're, you might want to
list. I think the service providers we have listed, is that what we want to do? I mean, I don't.
I think that's too broad, to be honest, to be operationally feasible.
Well, that's what I'm.
Well, especially because you're changing number 9 to 25,000 now.
That's right.
So maybe you reference it as C1 through 8, items C1 through 8.
Yeah.
So what I would suggest, and it's not my motion, is that the CEO is allowed to enter into a contract, as you mentioned, up to $25,000 without board approval, reporting anything over 10, and cannot enter into a contract greater than 5 years without board approval.
That's separate. The life of the contract is separate from having to issue an RFP every
right,
time.
Right, no, I know. I'm not suggesting so an RFP.
I mean, let's stick with that point then of the 5-year limit. Is that really what the board would like to do?
Well, that's what I'm suggesting. It's not my motion. So
that
just,
seems 5 years seems feasible.
Let's take an example of something. I don't have an example, but something very minimal that we contract for that is a very small amount every year, and it continues for, like you said, 20 years or 30 years.
Well, what about over 25,000? If it mirrors the number that we require board approval for, then you get rid of the minimal things, but it still gives us an opportunity to change out auditors potentially or change out other institutions to provide service. Again, I don't want to make it, if something's working, I hate to make us start all over again and have to, going out for an RFP is time consuming and expensive because you have to write up the proposal in the first place, and then you have to evaluate all of those, and then you could potentially have challenges to them. So I don't want to create unnecessary work. On the other hand, it's helpful to periodically, and some agencies, it's just the auditor that they change out every 5 years simply because they want a fresh set of eyes.
Well, how about just evaluate the services that provide us every 5 years, evaluate them and see if they're still needed?
Well, or you could evaluate to see whether an RFPP
might be indicated.
I wonder if we shouldn't segregate that issue out for today.
Why don't we keep it out for today and look at it, bring it back, do some analysis what would be appropriate, because we're sort of making things up as we go, and you really do need to look at who your core providers are, whether you would want to, do we want to go out and look for new legal counsel every 5 years? Probably not. So that would be one where it could be more challenging if we had a bidding war with, firms every 5 years we may not want to enter. So I agree.
Yep. I would also throw in there, just because it's my background, a CPA firm.
Uh-huh.
The alternative to RFPs or changing firms is changing partners. And the pattern had been, I think when Debbie and I were first involved here with the audit committee, that every 3 years they change firms, and thought that was a mandatory type of requirement. We ended up agreeing, I think, on the committee to go back because they liked the firm that was serving us. Mm-hmm. And there's a fair learning process when you change firms that obviously a current one doesn't impose, or not to the same degree. And anyway, we agreed to change partners. And that is the norm for larger organizations, not the changing of firms. Any event, the thinking through it more carefully might make good sense.
But it's a good issue you raised, so I think we should continue pursuing that.
Mm-hmm. So we'll bring back something on issuing RFPs in a time frame.
Uh-huh.
The contract period that Will brought up, that was just a suggestion.
It was a suggestion, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think that contract period, it really just kind of goes back to, if you look at C9 on page 2, it just says $50,000 in total, which we're going to change to $25,000 in total, and I just wonder how in total will be interpreted. And so I mean, we've had the discussion that in total means for the total duration of the contract.
Total value of the contract, right?
Yeah, and so like if you issue a contract for janitorial for custodian services in 10 years, you probably will hit $50,000, right?
Yeah.
So that that was the only, I think, with respect to the time frame, I'm just wondering if there's a simple way to insert something in, to clarify number 9 to say, you know, $25,000 in total for the duration of, for the term of the contract.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
That would be good.
That's fine.
That.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think we start to exceed 1,000 years.
Right. You could put not to exceed 5 years.
That's what I was going to say. You put the greater of 25,000 or 5 years, or just put a cap on the 5 years. Maybe we don't want to put a firm cap. Most of our contracts are for 3 years,
right.
Mm-hmm. But there may be an extenuating circumstance where we may want to go out farther years. So if the the term of the contract or the value to be paid under the contract, either the term exceeds 5 years or the total value to be paid under the contract exceeds $25,000, then it comes back to the board.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So essentially any contract that has a term that exceeds 5 years would be treated as a core contract and would trigger the board approval process.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's possible. Gail, did you?
That's fine.
Weigh in.
That's
fine.
Does that inhibit anything, do you think?
No. We're revisiting.
We can revisit it if it looks like it is.
Okay.
I think we started out with a motion that has evolved. I'm not sure we had a second.
There was.
We did. All right.
It's a motion there was a motion to approve as amended.
Okay. Let me perhaps ask Karen to summarize the motion at this point.
The motion was to approve the policy with the following changes under C9, change $50,000 to $25,000, and add that it's either or exceeding $25,000 or with the term of the contract exceeding 5 years. And we had the addition of any contract for $10,000 or less would not have to be reported to the board.
Is that going to go under C as well?
Yes.
Okay.
And the clarification of the wording in C3, the custodian, would be changed to the custodian bank. Or financial custodian.
Financial custodian.
Custodian
services.
I'd say financial custodian services.
That's all I have.
There's one other addition, which is revisit the contract after 1 year. Revisit the policy after 1 year.
Oh, that's right. Revisit the policy after 1 year. And as an aside from the motion, we have direction to come back with some more information about a periodic issuance of RFPs.
Okay. Anyone have anything further to add? I think we have it all. At this point, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Sorry.
Any opposed? Abstentions? Unanimously adopted.
I do it for just a second.